in Psalms chapter 73. We want to direct your attention to verse number 25. Psalm 73, verse number 25, as the scripture says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" And we see, if you notice there in your script Bible, in the King James Version of the Bible, the words "but thee" are in italics. They're not in the original, but given there by the translators to try to help us understand better. Sometimes it is a help, sometimes it's not. If we consider just the words out of the original that have been translated in verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven?" Let's pray. Father, as we look to your word this morning, we pray, Father, that you'd help with your word. Give your word power. Lord, take me out of the way. Help me to utter those things and say those things that you would be pleased with. And Lord, we pray for we as your people. Lord, you'd strengthen us, encourage us in thee, convict us of your truth and your will and way in our lives. Convict us with your word, Father. Help us to hear you, and not only just hear you, but to believe what you say and apply it to a living and life. For those that are here not saved, Father, touch them. Show them their great need and that they're sinners before Jesus Christ, before God Almighty. And Lord, they have a debt of sin they cannot pay. And Lord, help them to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up for them, for their sakes. And Lord, that they'd repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, you grant unto them repentance and faith and save their souls. Help us now, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here in verse number 25, Psalm 73, verse number 25, "Whom have I in heaven?" We ask that question to you. Who do you have in heaven? Who is it that you would claim in heaven? Who is there in heaven that knows about you? Who is there in heaven? Who is there in heaven that will work on your behalf? Who is there? Do you have an advocate? Do you have an intercessor? Do you have a savior? Is there anyone in heaven that knows you? The Lord Jesus Christ, there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord says that there'll be those that'll come to him in the last days, and they'll tout the great things that they had done that are religious things, casting out demons, prophesying in his name, many wondrous and wonderful works that they have done. And the Lord will say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Whom in heaven do you have? Let's take a look at this chapter and see the context of this scripture. And may the Lord help us to see the things that he has for us this morning. You know, there's only two ways in this life. There are only two ways. There's God's way, and as I've come to see here lately, there's the other way. There's God's way, and there's the other's way. Whether it's man's way, whether it's Satan's way, the world system's way, the wisdom of man, the philosophy of man. You know, there's two ways, God's way and the other way. Amen. Which way is it that we follow? Right. Which way is it that we follow and have taken to our lives? Two ways, the Lord's way and the other way. And this chapter 73, old brother Asaph, as he writes this psalm and as he considers these things, he is troubled by the way that this world works. He's troubled by the way things apparently seem to be. He's become discouraged about those things that he sees and the way of the Lord and how it is in his life. Oh, Asaph, he's involved there with the music of the day and the temple and the worship in the temple and the music and the praise and praying and such in the temple. David has assigned that task to some of the Levites, and Asaph is one of these. In this psalm of Asaph, he tells about these two ways. These two ways. That's what he tells about. Verse number one, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." God is good. He says, God has been good to my nation. God has been good to Israel. And he's good to those that are of a clean heart. Not self-righteousness, as we're going to come to see, but not the righteousness that he's brought upon himself or that he has earned or made for himself, but the righteousness of God. Clean heart. Clean hearted. As David, in one of his psalms, says, "Purge me, cleanse me, wash me." A clean heart of the Lord. Desiring the things of the Lord. God is good. He prefaces this psalm to such as are of a clean heart. He's going to tell how it was in his mind, how it was as he contemplated and thought about these things. But he starts off saying, "I get it. I understand it. I see it now, and I want to tell you about it. But as for me, he says, for me, the way that I was thinking, the way that I was going about it, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost bought off into it. I almost went off into it myself. Take a look down here in this passage, and we're going to see it in verse number 18. Surely, he speaks to the Lord and says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. We're going to see who the them is. He says, Asaph says, I almost bought off into it myself. I almost gave into it myself. I almost believed it myself to go after that slippery way. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I was envious at the foolish. I was covetous towards them. I desired what they had. I became envious looking at what I have and then taking a look at what they have, and I became envious. And that envy is nothing but covetousness. I couldn't help but think about the last commandment. What is that last commandment of the Ten Commandments? That one that speaks to us about not so much the body, but the heart. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Anything. Whether it be a thing, a person, a concept, a philosophy, a way, an enjoyment, a pleasure. Don't covet any of it. Don't covet what is someone else's. Oh, the Lord speaks to us and says we need to be content with such things as we have. He says, I was envying them. At the foolish, when I saw the prosperity, the bounty, the seeming blessing of the wicked. He says here, the wicked are foolish in their wickedness. The wicked are foolish. The foolish are wicked. The fool has said in his heart, no God. No God in anything. And he says, that was the case with me. For, listen, he says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. No bands in their death. What's that talking about? A term became very popular here several years ago, probably about 10 years ago. Remember, you saw it all over the back of trucks, T-shirts, wristbands, all kinds of things you would see it on. And what was that? No fear. You know, that's a hallmark of the generations today. No fear. No fear. No fear of anything. Falling off into promiscuity, falling off into the religion of the world, falling off into the wickedness of the world. Those things that enticed, those things that tempt us and that fill up our lust, our desire, no fear, no fear of anything, no fear of consequence, no fear of any, no fear of the government, no fear of the law, no fear of, we see many in the jails as we go there to preach, and it's just like another day in life. Right now I'm in jail. No fear. It doesn't trouble them, doesn't bother them. No fear of God. No fear. No reverential fear of God, that what God says, He means, and it's true, and it does apply to you and me. That's one thing that said, so well, that doesn't apply to me. That's okay if you want it, but it doesn't apply to me. No fear. I was envious at them, he said. There's no bands. There's no fear in their death. They don't consider about dying. Their prosperity abounds, but their strength is firm. They seem solid. They seem where nothing will touch them. There's nothing that's going to change anything about them. It's going to be forever and ever and ever, and they live that way. They pursue that way. There's no band, no fear in their death. Wealth, people, the world's way are behind them all the way. And it's a big crowd. It's a wide way. And anything and everything is accepted, and they are happy and rejoice in it. They are not in trouble, verse 5, as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. That nothing happens to them. It all just goes and goes and goes. It's nice. It's pleasant. It's easy. Everything is just great, Brother Asaph says. Therefore, pride compass them about as a chain. Oh, they don't know that they're being bound by it. Pride, because this has been successful, that's been successful, the other thing has been successful. That chain of pride compasses them about. Being bound with that chain of pride. He says, they're boastful in and of themselves. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garden, as a garment. They're brought into bondage by this pride. And they have boldness in their sin. Violence covereth them as a garment, and they're covered up with it. They, in their wickedness, and as it says in Ecclesiastes, because judgment doesn't come suddenly upon one that sins, they become bold and bold and bold, more and more and more. And such it is with these that Brother Asaph is looking on at. Job chapter 24, we'll not read it, but you can take a look at that. Job says, there's no end to them. They do this wickedness and they go on. They do this wickedness and they go on. They do this wickedness and they go on. And there's no impact. There's no judgment. There's nothing that comes about. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Their sin has not come upon them, and the judgment of God has not come upon them, but the bounty just is there. It's there and there. Every move they make is profitable. Everything that they do, it just increases more and more. There's no limit to what they do and pursue. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They are boastful in it. He says they have more than heart could wish. There's that covetousness again. He says they've got it all. They've got it all. Hebrews chapter 13. Take a look over here. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 5, listen to what the Word of God says. Let your conversation, child of God, let your way of walking in life, everything you say, do, and think, that's our conversation. Everything about us as we move forward and living in life, let your conversation be without covetousness in any regard, in any way. And be content with such things as ye have. Because here's the promise. For he, the Lord, hath said, I will never leave thee. I won't leave you. Amen. And I won't forsake you. Right. I won't leave you for a short time, and I won't leave you for a long time. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Right. Oh, but Brother Asaph, he was dealing with it. He was dealing with it. Back in Psalm 73, he says in verse number 8, they are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They have pursued after this evil. In Isaiah, turn over here in Isaiah chapter 5, see what the Word of God is. It says, here it tells a great woe unto us and unto the world. In Isaiah 5, verse number 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, a woe is pronounced unto that attitude, that way, that thinking, that desire. Woe! Woe! Let's switch it all around. In verse 8 of Psalm 73, verse 8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, and that they do, they self-justify, they justify themselves. They say, it's okay. After all, we're getting away with it. After all, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody looks in on us. If we're getting away with it, it must be right. If there is no punishment, it must be right.
Amen.
Boldness. Boldness in wickedness and sin. They speak loftily. They begin to brag about their wickedness. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens. See, this boldness continues on. And their tongue walketh through the earth. They begin to boast about it, brag about it, pronounce it, how great they are. Nebuchadnezzar, he did that. Look, he had been warned of God. He cooled his jets for about a year, didn't he? And he said, "Oh, this Babylon that I have built, how wondrous and great are the works of my hands." That's the way it is. Asaph says, not only do they do it, not only do they pursue it, not only do they add more to it, but now they brag about it. They boast about it. They boast about it to the heavens and before the earth and all the inhabitants of the earth. They tell about it against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 10. Boasting and bragging about disobedience. As God's children, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to understand, as we refer to our wicked life before the Lord saved us, let us never brag or boast about our sin. May the Lord help us to understand that in boasting and bragging about our wickedness and our sin before we were saved, we shed a light, a witness towards those young ones that are amongst us. Let us always tell. Let us always tell, son, daughter, what I did was wrong. Amen. And I did it. And it was wicked and evil. God doesn't like it. God hates it. And don't you pursue after it. What I refer to that as is go ahead and be the hypocrite. See, the world says, the way the world says, well, I can't be a hypocrite. After all, I did it. How can I prevent my children from doing it? That is warped, crooked, perverse thinking. Go ahead and be the hypocrite. And I say that in quotes because pursuing after righteousness is never hypocritical. When we see that we are wrong, when we see that we have sinned, don't hide it from your children. Tell them it was wrong. Tell them it was evil. And tell them that they need to turn to the Lord and obey Him. Well, I can't get on my kid for smoking dope. After all, I did it. I can't get on my kid for going here, going there, doing this, doing that. After all, I did it. If God says it's wrong, may God help us to see that if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's against God, if it's wicked, we need to turn the pattern now. Turn the pattern now and save our children from sin in their flesh and sin in their bodies by standing for what the Lord says. I did it. How can I say anything? Oh, may the Lord help us. It says in Psalm 73, verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, their tongue walketh through the earth. In Proverbs chapter 10, look at these verses. In verse number 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. That prating fool is talking about that fool that just yak, talk, wagging that tongue, telling, as it says, as Brother Asaph says here, that their tongue walketh through the earth. In verse number 10 of Proverbs 10, it says, he that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. In verse number 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Telling and standing for wickedness and bragging about it. In verse number 18 of Proverbs 10, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, he that hideth hatred that he has by lying about it, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool, God said. The Lord calls us to be without guile, without deceit, without deception. The Lord calls us to be honest. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to seek His face and His help, His power, His word, that we might pursue to be like Him, obedient to Him. May God help us to see that. In Proverbs, in Psalm 73, in verse number 10, it says, therefore His people, that those that are In verse number 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. It says in verse number 10 of Psalm 73, therefore his people, this wicked man's people, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Some believe that this is talking about persecution. I don't believe that it is of the righteous, but that's talking about the way that it is with the wicked, that they gang up. They gang up! Birds of a feather do flock together. And they gather together, and the blessing, Asaph says, is just heaped on and heaped on and heaped on. And they have blessing abundantly. Folks, follow them and are rewarded by it. Folks, follow the wicked and are rewarded by the wicked for following. It's the way that it works. It's the way that it works. My lands, in the work that I did before I came here and selling equipment, if I would have taken a bribe, I could have done all kinds of business. If I would have given a bribe, I could have done all kinds of business. It was there. It was rampant. It was that way. Buy a vacation here. Buy a weekend hunting trip here. And I could have sold press after press after press. Millions of dollars of business. But the Lord says it's wicked. The Lord says it's evil to work that way. Verse 11. Verse 10, it says, therefore his people return hither, the wicked does. And those that gather to them, waters of full cup are wrung out to them. He pays them off. He buys and sells them. Verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? God doesn't care. God doesn't give a lick about what's going on after all. What's happened to us? Everything's great. Everything's happening. Everything is good. And there is knowledge, and is there knowledge in the Most High? God does not care about what we do. God does not care about us. God does not and may not even be there. First, take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. That's a sign of the day. It's the sign of the day in which we live. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm breaking in a new Bible, so I'm a little bit slow on getting there. Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own desires, what they want, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Everything's the same. Nothing changed. This promise of judgment and damnation upon disobedience and sin. Where is it? Where is it? Doesn't look like to me there's going to be any problem. After all, God helps those who help themselves. Pancho Villa, it said, the sheep were raised to be shorn. Isn't that an attitude? People have things for me to steal them, Pancho Villa said. It's mine. It's mine. I'll take it because I want it. A wicked thinking and a wicked heart. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly. Asaph, Brother Asaph says, these are the ungodly. As I saw it, as the Lord showed it to me, these are the ungodly. They are without God. They desire nothing of God. They don't want God Himself, God's way, God's righteousness, God's blessing. They are the ungodly. These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Their full cup is wrung out unto them. In every move they make and everything they do, they are blessed. Asaph goes on in considering these. He says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. It's been of no value, he says, he thinks, for me to pursue after the right way. It's vain. It's empty for me having pursued the righteous way, having cleansed my heart, the Lord having saved me and washed my hands in innocency. See, it's been vain for me to put sin out of my way. It's been vain for me to put away sin And it cost me so much to do so. It's been empty. It's been vain. As he looks on at the prosperity of the wicked, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. You know, our Heavenly Father chastens us. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, He chastens us, we as children, for our profit. For our profit, because we are His children, in His family, in His home, in His house, if you will. And He chastens His children. He corrects us. And He says, Asaph, Brother Asaph says, it's just all been vain. It's not been worth it. It's not been worth it to be plagued by the conscience, by the still small voice of the Lord, by the Spirit of God. Verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, he said, if I say it out loud, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. If I go ahead and say what I'm thinking, if I go ahead and say what I'm feeling, it'll be an offense all the way around. If I tell others that are saved and that desire the Lord in the righteous way, it'll offend them. And then I look at the prosperity of the wicked and the righteous way offends them. I'm just caught. You ever get the feeling that way? Brother Asaph did. Caught in the middle. Caught in the middle. Remember, folks, there's the Lord's way and there's the other way. That's all there is. There's the Lord's way and the other way. He was being honest. When I thought to know this, verse 16, it was too painful for me. He agonized in soul and heart and mind about this disparity. He's tried. He's pursued. But yet the wicked have this blessing. What's he say? When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. When I got over there and visited with God, when I got over there and got close to the Lord, to the Lord's people, to the Lord's Word, to His house, and our day to His church, when I got over there, then I saw therein. I understood therein. Surely, now he sees, surely thou hast set them in slippery places. He says, I almost bought into it. I almost went that way. Oh, surely thou hast set them in slippery places. But Asaph, Brother Asaph, because of getting close to the Lord, I mentioned this here in a message, maybe even last week. May God help us to see the wickedness and evil of the day that the Lord's people are trying to say, see, not how close they can get to God, but how far away they can get from God and still be okay. May God help us to see that. We need to draw nigh unto God. That means up close and personal. That means up there close. When you got a whipping coming, it's hard to swing. A child that understands that, they'll grab a hold of your leg. You can't get to them, can you? When they get up there close to daddy, they get up there close to mama and hug them up and repent. The whipping's not that hard, is it? Oh, but get out there on the edge. Get out there on the edge. Just right there on the edge. You know what? Which side is your child walking on? This side or that side? If you're walking on the edge. Think about it. We've all got children that need to be saved. We've got children, grandchildren, acquaintances, friends, family need to be saved. We're walking on the edge. What kind of witness is that? Amen. If they take up on this side, there they are. May the Lord help us to see it. Brother Asaph, he saw it. I went to the sanctuary of God. I understood therein. Thou didst set them in slippery places. He acknowledged that in verse 2. He said, I was almost there. Thou castest them down into destruction. Remember, they're bound by a chain. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. bound by that chain of pride, thinking they're going to get away with it, not even thinking or caring about death and life on the other side, the life to come, bound by that chain of pride, brought to desolation as in a moment, he says. What about that moment of death? You ready for it? What about that moment, that second of your death? Are you ready for it? What about that twinkling of an eye when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for His children? Are you ready for that moment? What about when God, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and sets His feet on the Mount of Olives at that moment? Are you ready? Are you ready for that moment? How is it with you? They are brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. That moment, that second, that instant of death without Jesus Christ, and go off into hell, burning and screaming, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why is it that the Scripture tells us about this terror? Verse 20. As a dream when one awaketh. When the sinner wakes up burning in the flames of hell, in that instant when life has left them, their spirit is called from their body and enter into hell, the burning of hell. Why is it that there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth? Because sinners say, this can't be happening to me. This can't be happening to me. And they're there weeping and wailing, and that gnashing of teeth is when something comes upon you and you grit your teeth so you want it to be undone. You know what? Everything in this life does come to an end. But not there. Not there. Not there. The people may be sick for years. People may be ill for decades. People may suffer anguish of heart because of the death of their loved ones. There may be some great tragedy. People are injured and hurt and become paraplegics and such as that. But all that comes to an end. But not there. Not there. It'll never come to an end. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when Thou awakest, Thou shalt despise what they even look like, Brother Asaph says. The image, the likeness of the ungodly, the Lord will despise. He will hate it as an unclean thing. He will pour out His wrath upon it in hell and the lake of fire forever. Verse 21, thus my heart was grieved. Now Asaph, when he's been rebuked once again, when he's been chastened of the Lord and heart and spirit, he says, my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. I thought wrong against the Lord. I thought wrong against my Lord. I was rebuked. I was convicted. I am repentant. So foolish was I, verse 22, and ignorant. I did not know. I did not consider it. I did not see it. I did not believe it. Oh, I was foolish to think such a thing. I was as a beast before Thee, not as an understanding child. Not as an understanding child and saint. I was like an animal before You. An ignorant animal before You. Because I let the Word of God depart from my heart and my soul. Those things that I had been taught. Those things that I had been spoken to out of the Word of God. And I got to looking at my situation and circumstance. I got to looking around and what's going on around me right now and right here. And I became a fool. I became like a beast. I became not like your child should be. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Praise God for it. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Verse 23. What's the Lord say? Forgetting those things that are behind and looking forward to the calling of the Lord, nevertheless I am continually with thee. He's encouraged in the Lord. He rejoices in the Lord. Thou hast holden me up by my right hand. You have sustained me, Lord. You have lifted me up. You have kept me. And I am kept now in the way that you want me kept now. And in that moment of death, you will keep me then. You will keep me then. I'm not on the slippery place. I'm not bound by the chain of pride. I'm not touched and deceived by the wickedness and sin of the world. But I have you. And he's going to go on to tell that. He's going to go on. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. What's that? His word. The scripture. The Bible. Words from Jesus' lips. You hear that? Words from Jesus. What's better than the sweet words from the lips of our Savior? Amen? What's better than that? What is better than that? Thy counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. Amen. Says, that's where I'm heading. That's where the promises are. That's the eternal promise that I have that's settled in heaven because God has said it. I'm going on to Him. Asaph goes from seeing the little picture to seeing the big picture that God sees. May the Lord help us to see that. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? Who else in heaven is there that is concerned in a way that they can do a thing for me? Whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom do you have in heaven? Do you have anyone in heaven? Is there anyone in heaven that knows you, that can do something for you, that can work on your behalf, that can open your eyes that you may see, that can open your ears that you may hear, that can give you life? We took a look at the cottage prayer meeting. And honestly, it was a disappointment. We got 32 families, 32 households in the church, and only 5 showed up. Now, I know things come up and things such as that, but that was really a shame. But we had a good time there. And I tell you, just take that up with the Lord. But he goes here and he says, whom have I in heaven but thee? Then there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. He says, in my body, it fails. My heart, my soul, my ability to live, it fails within me. I need you, Lord, as we took a look and that, and the theme of our revival for this coming week is Isaiah 57:15. Turn over there. Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 15. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. What? What's the purpose of God? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Asaph says over here, my flesh and my heart faileth. I need life from the Lord. I need sustaining life for my soul. I need sustaining life for my spirit. My life comes from you, Lord. From you. Not the world. Not the sin and wickedness of the world. Not the way of the world. But it comes from you. Revive life comes from you. He says, I am unable, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. God is. That is the gift that has been given we that are saved. It is God Himself. Oh, may God help us to see that. Right. The stuff is just an aside. It's God that has given Himself to us. and saving our souls and rescuing us. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Is that the truth? How about you? Are you desirous for other things or other persons? Or is the Lord number one, and then these others take their place? The Lord told Peter. He asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou these more than me? Lovest me more than these? Where our affection is, there is our treasure also. My flesh and my heart faileth, verse 26, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee are going to perish. Those that are away from thee, they're going to die. Those that are away off and don't care about what you say, don't heed the warning about what you say, don't receive your Savior and your salvation your way. Those that pursue after wickedness to fill up their own lusts and desires, those that are away, they're going to perish. They're going to perish. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. There's that covetousness again. Wanting something else other than what the Lord has. Wanting some other way, some other thing, some other person, some other anything other than what the Lord wants. What the Lord says, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God, Asaph says. It's good for me to get up there close to God. I want to be up there close to God, because then my vision isn't blurred. My heart and my desire is not tainted with the world and the way of the world and the thinking of the world. Then I understand the big picture of God, that it's more than this life. But there's a life to come with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Witness. Witness. Having a joy about us because of the Lord rescuing us and conveying it to others that they might see. Living every bit of our conversation about what we say, do, and think. Being representative and a witness of the Lord with joy. With joy. With happiness. With love. Not grudgingly. Not out of constraint. Other than the constraint of the Lord's love for us. Amen? Jesus' love for me, that He would die for such a worm as I. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Who have I in heaven but thee? Who do you have in heaven? Who in heaven knows you? Who in heaven will work on your behalf? You personally, not your family, not you and your brothers and sisters, mom and daddy, aunts and uncles, grandma, grandpa. But who do you have in heaven? And who do you desire? If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to repent of your sins. You're guilty before God. You're a sinner. You're guilty. You've got a debt of sin that you can't pay. You're bent towards nothing but sin. That's the way we are in and of ourselves. You need to admit it to God. You need to confess it to God. You need to repent before the Lord. And then you need to trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. In Him, the God-man that was sent for salvation for sinners like you and me. Repent and believe that when the Lord suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, that He did it for you because you needed it, because you're guilty, because you're the chief sinner. Not somebody else. If you can point at somebody else, then you don't understand where you stand. But that it's you.